Welcome to Talks from the Bible. For the past 3 weeks, we have discussed good news. The gospel, of course, is a word which means good news. And through the gospel, Almighty God has announced unto us good news. We spoke about good news from Bethlehem. Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. We spoke of good news from Jesus. Jesus, during his personal ministry, spoke of the kingdom of heaven that he would establish in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And because of the establishment of that kingdom, humanity would need to repent. They would need to turn from their sins, become servants of God through obedience to his gospel. We have spoken about good news from the cross. We have examined the blessings that are ours this day because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Today, I wish to speak about good news from the empty tomb. Jesus Christ was born. Jesus Christ lived a life of absolute perfection. Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ was buried, and Jesus Christ arose triumphantly over the grave, over death, and over Satan. We turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 6. And when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices, that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, "Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?" And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, "Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him." The good news of the empty tomb is that Jesus has risen. He was dead through the act of crucifixion. A man by the name of Joseph had come to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. The scripture tells us in the gospel accounts of the death of Christ how that Joseph took that mangled, dead body and carefully wrapped it in a linen cloth and buried it in his own new tomb. Joseph had such love for the Savior, such a devotion to Jesus, that he took the body that had been crucified and buried that body. But very early on the first day of the week, as these particular women came to honor the Christ, they found that the tomb was empty. The tomb where Jesus had been buried was empty. The voice of the young man announced, "He is not here. He is risen. Behold the place where they laid him." During the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he had promised his triumph over the grave. In John chapter 2, at verses 19 through 22, Jesus has come into the temple. The Jews would gather in the temple. And upon this particular occasion, Jesus has driven out money changers from the temple. This was not the purpose for the temple. This was not the manner for which the temple was to be used. Jesus was angry over such an abuse of the temple of God. And after he had driven out these money changers, at verses 19 through 22, he answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. The Jews to whom Jesus speaks these words do not understand what he is saying. Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. They thought that he referred to this great, massive structure where they were assembled. This temple in all of its adoration and marvelous architecture had taken 46 years to construct. How was Jesus going to rebuild such a structure in 3 days? But Jesus spake of the temple of his body. He was telling the Jews that if you destroy this bodily temple, I will rebuild it in 3 days. He was telling them that after 3 days in the grave, he was going to rise again. He was going to come forth from the tomb. The tomb was going to be empty where his body would be laid. And after Jesus had risen from the dead, this particular passage of Scripture said that his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them. And because of the saying of Christ, because of the truth that the tomb was empty, they believed the Scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Jesus predicted during his public ministry, informed the Jews, taught his disciples, that he would rise from the dead. The Christ whom they would kill would not remain dead. Jesus would conquer death. At Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14, the Scripture says, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil." The devil, according to this passage of Scripture, has the power of death. The children, flesh and blood people, are subject to death. Jesus became as we are. Jesus became flesh and blood. Philippians 2 and verse 8 teaches us that Jesus, who was equal with God and was found in fashion as God, on an equality with God, became as man. He took upon himself the form of flesh and blood. And in this fleshly form he died, so that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. The death of Jesus Christ and the resurrection of Christ was the conquest of death. The power that Satan had was taken from him. The power of death was destroyed. Jesus conquered the grave in his resurrection. And you and I will be able to conquer the grave in our resurrection. At 2 Timothy 1 and verse 10, "But is now made manifest." If we read verse 9, we see that the grace and the purpose of God for the salvation of man has now been made manifest. It has now been made known. That grace and that purpose of salvation had been taught in the pages of the Old Testament. The prophets had spoken of the coming of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ, and the salvation that would be bestowed upon humanity because of Jesus Christ. Now in Christ that has been made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. The gospel is an announcement of life and immortality. The gospel is an announcement that Jesus has abolished death. During the personal ministry of Christ, he had taught that whosoever believeth in me would not die. You and I will die because we are flesh and blood. You and I will be buried because we are flesh and blood. But the power of death has been destroyed. Death itself has been abolished because just as Jesus arose from the dead, so you and I shall arise from the dead. All of humanity one day shall arise from the dead. We shall come forth from the tomb. The tombs where our mortal bodies are placed will one day be empty when Jesus comes, when the trumpet sounds, when Jesus shouts, and the dead in Christ shall arise. At John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus has come to the tomb of Lazarus. He has come down to Bethany. He has received the announcement that Lazarus has died. Lazarus was a friend and associate of Christ, as were his sisters, Mary and Martha. We have some interesting stories in Scripture about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, and Jesus' association with them. This was a binding friendship. And when Lazarus dies, Jesus makes that journey down to Bethany. This was a dangerous journey because the Jews were trying to slay Christ. This is toward the end of his ministry. And they want him dead. They want him gone. They want his influence to be banished from the earth. And yet, when they finally crucified him, his influence has only spread. His influence has only intensified. The power that Christ has in his death and in his resurrection has spread throughout all the earth. And the announcement of life and immortality has been announced through the gospel. But when Jesus comes down to Bethany, he speaks with Martha about the death of her brother. And Jesus said unto her, John 11, 25, 26, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. The dead shall live, because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Jesus was crucified, Jesus was buried, and Jesus, by the power of the Spirit of Almighty God, was raised to life, so that he has become the resurrection and the life. And though we die, yet shall we live. And he says to her, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? We must believe in Christ. We must surrender to Christ. We must live the Christ-like life. We must obey Christ in our daily walk of life. And the promise is that we will not die. As Jesus conquered death through death, so you and I, in our death, will one day conquer death by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish to present to you five truths of the good news of the resurrection. The resurrection is good news. A man called Jesus died in Jerusalem. A man named Jesus was buried. A man named Jesus arose from the dead. A man named Jesus lives today, calling you and me and every heart that will hear his truth to come unto him and know the redemption and the reconciliation and the newness of life and the hope of eternal life that has been provided through his cross and through his resurrection. Good news of the resurrection. Good news from the empty tomb. His resurrection declares his deity. Jesus claimed to be divine. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. Many who believed on him confessed him to be the Son of God. Jesus was the eternal God who had become flesh, John 1 and verse 14. Jesus, who had created the heavens and the earth, has become flesh, John 1 and verse 14. The claim of Jesus as the Son of God was established in the miracles that he performed and in the truth that he taught, because never had anyone taught like Jesus. Never had anyone spoken such words of power as Jesus had spoken. And he was able to confirm that truth by healing the sick, casting out demons, restoring sight to the blind, and even raising the dead. But the resurrection establishes beyond any doubt and beyond all debate that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Romans 1, verse 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." The resurrection of the dead announces emphatically that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And because he is the Son, we are to follow him. We are to obey him. We are to imitate his life. We are to seek in every aspect of our life to please and honor and glorify him. In the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul has come to the city of Antioch. He and his fellow workers have set out on a mission of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they have come to this particular city. And in this sermon that Paul preached in Antioch, he says at verses 32 through 37 concerning the deity of Jesus Christ, "And we declare unto you glad tidings." The gospel is a message of glad tidings. You ought to want to hear the gospel because of the glad tidings that are contained in the gospel. "How that the promise which was made unto the fathers, God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children. Long ago unto the fathers, God had promised Jesus and salvation. And now he has fulfilled the same unto us who are the children of the fathers, in that he hath raised up Jesus again. As it is also written in the second Psalm, Psalms 2, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee." These are the words penned by David. This is a prediction of Christ becoming flesh and blood, of Christ becoming human. "And as concerning that he raised him up from the dead, now no more to return to corruption." God has raised him from the dead, and he will never die again. He said on this wise, "I will give you the sure mercies of David." The sure mercies of David were the promise that God through Christ would bring salvation to humanity. He would establish the kingdom of heaven upon the earth, and man would have the opportunity to live in favor with God in Christ and spend their eternity in heaven. "Wherefore," he saith also in another psalm, "Thou shalt not suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw corruption. But he whom God raised again saw no corruption. When David died, he was buried, and his body began to corrupt. The scripture says that man will return to the dust from whence he was taken, and the spirit unto the God who gave it. Our bodies will see corruption in the grave, but the body of Christ saw no corruption, proving emphatically, beyond all doubt, and all debate, that he was, is, and forever shall be the Son of God. At John 11 and verse 27, she saith unto him, These are the words of Martha. She's heard Christ tell her that she is the resurrection and the life, that he is the resurrection and the life. And she says, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and his resurrection from the grave, the empty tomb where his body was laid, is a testimony to that divine truth. His resurrection assures our salvation. We do not have to worry about whether or not we are saved. We do not have to be troubled about whether or not we are saved, because the resurrection of Christ assures our salvation. At 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, the like figure, Peter has mentioned that Old Testament event of the flood. You remember in Genesis chapter 6 and 7, we have a record of the flood which destroyed the whole of earth, every living creature except those souls and those creatures that were on the ark were dead, destroyed because of sin, evil. And so now Peter says, "The like figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." That's a statement with which you cannot argue, which you must not disagree. Baptism doth also now save us. I have people tell me, and I hear preachers preach, that one is saved and then he can be baptized. That's not what this passage of Scripture teaches. That's not what God Almighty has revealed unto us. Baptism doth also now save us. One is never saved before he is baptized. One must be saved in order to be baptized, or one must be baptized in order to be saved. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism saves by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you read Romans chapter 6, Paul tells us that in baptism, we enter into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we go into the water as a sinner, as a lost soul. But the Bible tells us that we're raised from that water. We're lifted out of that water. And we are a new creature in Christ. We have newness of life because we are free from sin, so that we become the servants of righteousness. Read that chapter very, very carefully. The resurrection of Christ assures our salvation. His resurrection encourages our fidelity. God wants us to be faithful. We obey the gospel, we begin the Christian life. We're born into the Christian family, the church. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. Colossians chapter 2, 11 through 13. Romans chapter 6, other passages of Scripture teach us that we're born into the family of God. Ephesians 3, 15. And so his resurrection encourages us to be faithful. 1 Corinthians 15, 54 through 58. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality." God's speaking about a change in the human form. We're corruptible. We're mortal in this body. But this corruptible will become incorruptible, and this mortal will become immortal. "Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus was victorious over death in his resurrection. And we will be victorious over death in our resurrection. The mortal will become immortal, and the corruptible will become incorruptible. And the grave shall be conquered. Death shall be destroyed. Therefore, my beloved brethren, because of this change in our form, from corruptible to incorruptible, from mortal to immortal, "be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The Bible says, keep living the Christian life. Continue to be faithful to God. Because of what's going to happen in your resurrection, Jesus Christ has secured the blessing of our resurrection. His resurrection ensures our resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, 13 through 21. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, you're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. If Jesus has not been raised, then preaching is vain and preachers are false witnesses. Because we preach that Christ has been raised from the dead. If Christ has not been raised, then faith is vain. There is no need to believe in Christ. And we are yet in our sins. But Christ has been raised. And because He has been raised, we shall be raised. The resurrection of Christ ensures our resurrection. Christ has conquered the grave and has emerged as victor over death. And the hour will come, known only to the mind of God, that our resurrection shall come. And this old mortal body that becomes so frail with the passing of years, that passes away eventually, will be raised and will be glorified. And finally, His resurrection protects our inheritance. We have been promised an inheritance. God has promised us an inheritance through our faithfulness unto Him. At 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we have been begotten unto a living hope. We have hope in God. We have an expectation. We have a dream. We have the hope of a future with God. And Jesus Christ has begotten us unto that hope. He's given birth to that hope by His resurrection from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Nothing that you and I possess in this life is incorruptible. It will all fade in value. It will all diminish. It will lose its luster and its charm. But our inheritance reserved in heaven is incorruptible, never pass away, undefiled, has no stain or flaw, fades not away, will forever be there. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the greatest event in the history of humanity. On that first day of the week, early in the morning, those women went to the tomb where Jesus had been buried, and He was not there. He had been raised. That's good news. That's glorious news for every heart. Because in a land of so much uncertainty and in a land where death is so prominent and real, and you and I know that one day our life will fade from the human scene, we have the glorious promise that we shall be raised from the dead and shall live eternally. And we will live either in the devil's hell or in God's heaven. It will be decided and determined by the choices we make, the life we live. We must belong to God through Jesus Christ. We must obey in faith, repentance, confession, and baptism the precious gospel that is revealed in the pages of His Word, and walk in His divine light every day. Let us not be individuals who walk toward the grave, but let us be individuals who walk toward the land of eternal day, heaven, because of the good news from the empty tomb. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ.